Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, as I considered the parable of the sower, now, and at some point, I'm going to teach this in detail. Like I told you last week, when I was teaching about the kingdom of heaven, just the whole issue of keys to the kingdom just lit up in my spirit. So I don't know when I'm going to get off keys to the kingdom of heaven. I don't know. So at some point, I'm going to teach the parable of the sower, because Jesus told us that this is one of the keys of the kingdom, that everything in the kingdom works this way. Amen. Everything in the kingdom works this way. It works with the word being deposited in the heart, and then what's deposited in the heart having being maintained in a good and pure heart will produce fruit. Amen? Amen. Now, think about this, especially in reference to the kingdom of heaven. If the word comes from God, and that word from God produces fruit, then the fruit that it produces is from where? It's from God or from heaven. It's from heaven. And so it is clear that God wants us to produce based on what comes from heaven. That's the key to the whole kingdom. See, what we produce is not supposed to be based on anything on earth. Therefore, earth cannot limit. Earth can never limit what I can produce. Earth can never hinder what I can produce. The economy cannot impact how I live, because I live on production from heaven, and the whole system works with this word that comes from heaven that will produce from my heart. Even when there's shortage on earth. The whole system works that way. The whole system. The whole system. So turn to Matthew chapter number 16, and let's just look at our text scripture here. Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 19. Tempted to read more today. I'm not going to read it today. So at some point, I'll go back and read more and show you how it ties together, how it connects together, how all of it, all of what Jesus was saying is really connected with this lesson on the keys to the kingdom. Amen? We should never pull verses out of context so that we understand them to... Amen. We should never do that. And so it's important to make sure that the lessons that we believe we see are lessons that are consistent teaching in the Word of God. Amen. We can't take one passage of Scripture and find something and just say, oh, that's good. I like that. That's what I want. and it's not consistent with other passages of Scripture, it's a problem. It's a problem. And listen, I'll just say this. I'm not teaching on this tonight. But the proponents for same-sex marriage would say there's only 6 verses in the Bible that say something about it. That's a consistent teaching. There ain't one verse that supports it. 6 against, none for. Which one? Which side you think he on? Okay, and now I know, and a lot of people today just believe that, you know, well, they were born like that, and you know, we should not teach against those things. Are you going to be with him? Or with the teaching of today? I mean, you have to be really mindful. I know in a lot of workplaces, you know, it is just frowned upon for you to even say anything. Now, they can say anything in support, but you can't say nothing against. That's un-American. What happened to freedom of speech? That's on both sides. If you can say something against, I can say something for. All right, I don't know where that came from. That's going to help somebody out there. Amen, because some people hide when controversial topics come up. But if you don't have enough of the kingdom in your heart, you will hide. All right. Verse 19, Matthew 16:19. That ain't what I'm preaching about tonight in the name of Jesus. And now let me just add this to it in case anybody in here is struggling, because I've helped people struggling before with same-sex attraction. I'm not against you, baby, whoever you are. I'll be happy to help you, but I'm not going to help you sin. And I'm not going to say it's okay. I'm not going to say you was born like that. Because it would be wrong for God to be against black people and I was born black. Come on. What am I going to do? How much, if God said all black people going to hell, man, I'm in trouble. There's nothing that I can do about it. So the only thing that he could be against has to be something that either I can change. Well, it has to be something I can change. Even if I was born like that, he's saying, yeah, I know you was born like that, but you can change that. And I'm not saying, I am not at all giving any credence to the born like that argument. I am not. I am not. They just said that enough until it's generally accepted. Okay. Amen. And again, I'm not against anybody. Anybody struggling, you better tell somebody. Because you're going to end up, if you're struggling in private, you will end up giving in to it. The people that I've been able to help, they came to me and said, hey, Pastor, I'm struggling with this. And so I was able to help them, to give them some support. Amen. To let them know there's nothing wrong with you. But there is something wrong with this kind of thinking. And these kind of feelings. And you don't have to be prisoner to these feelings. Okay, I think I got all that out now. Amen. All right, where are we at? Verse number 19. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth, loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. So God has a kingdom that operates with keys. That's so important to recognize. This church operates with keys. And I've showed up here, and I'm the pastor. I have every right to be in this building, but I can't stand outside the door and say, Lord, thou knowest that I am the pastor. Open this door unto me. I need the key. I need to, in fact, I've come and left my key at home. I couldn't get in. I've even came in, put my stuff down on the desk, left something in the car, made a mistake, put my keys down on the desk too, went out to the car, got whatever I left in the car, came back to the door and said, oh, Lord, I left my key. Thank God the car was open so I could call my wife and say, baby, what's wrong? I can't get in. I can't get in. I can't get in. So now without your key, the only way to gain access is to break in. And that's the advantage of heaven being the place of your source of supply, is that there's no such thing as a break-in. There is no break-in. God said, look, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. I think I quoted it before. It's the very first verse that I started to memorize. I remember going over and over again saying, man, I always mess up. I can't memorize this verse. But now I still know it today. Now, what if I would have given up? I might not know anymore. Okay. All right. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through. Come on, in heaven, thieves do not break through. Come on, there are no break-ins. There are no breakthroughs. Amen. Thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so there is a comparison of having your treasure stored on earth, or the source of all of your supply being your earthly treasure. The source of the prosperity of my life being earthly. If it's stored up here, there's the potential that it can be destroyed. It can be degraded. It can be diminished. It can be ruined. Corrupt means ruined. Look, it says moth. Man, anybody who's ever had a moth eat away at something. Either it's only eating a little bit, but it's a hole there. Or it's eating away a lot, and you put it on, and that thing just almost fall apart. And some of us are that way with our treasure. It's almost crumbled on us. Man, the nation of Greece has financial issues. And I remember a year or so ago, their banks were about to collapse. Their banks were about to collapse. And so even when they had money in the bank, they were limited to how much they could take out. It's like $60 a day. That's all. Now, I don't care if I only got $200 in. When I go, I want all my $200. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to come 4 days to get $200. No, give me mine. But you got to understand something. It is a picture, man. Because don't think that that's just Greece that can't happen. Oh, it can happen here. If the system collapses, you won't be able to get, even though you have money in the bank, you won't be able to get to it. And if you're living off earthly treasure, guess what? Your life is going to be severely impacted. I'm not telling you to keep all your money in the mattress at your house. I'm not trying to put fear in you. But I want you to grasp understanding why God says, don't put all your confidence on earth. Don't fix your heart. Don't fix your passion on earth. Because if you set your heart here on earth and you look at what you got, and you say, man, that'll last me for 10 years if I stop working today. You'll have confidence, won't you? But the system collapsed, then what you going to do? It was a man like that in the scripture, and this man built these barns, and he said, look at all this stuff I got. Let me build some new barns because I don't have enough places to store it. And he stored it in the new barns. And the Lord said to him, thou fool. Because this day shall your life be demanded of you. And then whose will those things be that you stored up? And so he was talking about, and Jesus then said, this is what happens to someone that's not rich toward God. Not rich toward God. All right, let me just move on because y'all got a little quiet and I'm not trying to put fear in nobody. Amen? All right. So we know that treasures on earth, there's theft and corruption. There's theft and corruption or theft and destruction. If a moth eats your garment, that's destruction. It destroys the garment. It destroys it. So if your treasure's on earth, then there's the potential for destruction. Now, if my treasure's in heaven, there's no theft. There's no theft. And so I need to be of a mindset. And not just a mindset, but my heart has to be fixed on this. My heart has to be determined that the source of everything in my life is heaven. So then nothing that I enjoy can ever be diminished. Yeah, the scripture said here, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be, or that's where your love will be. That's where your passion will be. And so when heaven is the source of everything that I have, when I wake up every day thanking God for this day, when every time before, this is one of the reasons that you thank God before you ever eat, it's because you want him to know that you recognize that if I'm putting something in my mouth right now, it came from you. It's a blessing from you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for supplying for me today. The strength in my body, Lord, I thank you, Lord God. You strengthen my body. I thank you, Lord God, that my heart beats because of you, Lord. And every heartbeat says, thank you, Jesus. Every heartbeat says, I love you, Lord. Every breath I take says, God is good. Your heart has to be rooted in heaven. If your heart is not rooted in heaven, that part of your heart which takes things for granted or trust in uncertain riches, the Bible says, or has confidence in my own ability. You know, some people just can naturally make money. They do good things. They can make money and they can prosper. But if you trust in that, man, there's some wealthy people whose health is terrible, and there's nothing they can do about it. There are wealthy people that are so unhappy because nobody loves them. Everybody that's around them is around them only for the money or what they can do for them. How horrible is that, man? To not be able to trust anybody because nobody loves me. They just here for what they can get from me. And your money can't buy friendship, can't make me love you. It'll make me like you. Come on, I got affection. I like being around you because when I'm around you, you know, no telling, you might say, hey, let's go to Orlando for dinner. Come on. Man, we can get on a private jet, don't cost me nothing. I'm eating at the best restaurant in the nation. How many of y'all know I'm going to like that? Come on, man. Yeah, I like that. It won't make me love you, though. It won't make me love you. So we want to make sure that we store up our treasure in heaven. And listen, if I store it in heaven, or let me put it in terms of our text scripture, if I bind it in heaven, I can loose it, or I can withdraw it from heaven. You see it? If I bind or I store my treasure in heaven, then I can lose or withdraw it from heaven. All right, turn to John 10:10. John 10:10, I'm introducing this tonight. I don't know how long I'm going to be on this particular key. And I didn't give you a title. Keys to Financial Empowerment. Keys to Financial Empowerment. And I want to specifically stay on this subject for a long time for a couple of reasons. Number one, most of us believe financial prosperity is a plan of God, but many of us don't enjoy any of it. And I believe it's because we haven't used the keys. We haven't used the keys and have actually violated some things. Come on, man. Even when I come in here, there's a keypad at the door. And if I violate the keypad and put in the wrong code, the alarm is going to go off. It say, no, he ain't supposed to be in here. The police are going to come. Amen. And so, you know, some of us have violated the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And there is no access without it. There is no access. The purpose of God producing, or the purpose of God creating the system, is because he does not want it accessed except by those that use the key. So he's trying to protect it and guard it for you. But I got to take time to make sure I know what the key is and I use it properly. Amen. Amen. All right, John 10:10. So back in Matthew, it said thieves break through. Look at John 10:10. It says the thief. All right, who is this trying to break through? Cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Huh? So God's not trying to take anything from you. He said the thief is coming to try to take something from you. He's trying to steal or to take something from you. He's trying to kill or to eliminate it entirely or to destroy, to neutralize. So it has no effect. You can't enjoy it. You can't enjoy it. Can you imagine finally getting to what has always been your goal financially? And right at that moment, you get cancer. And you're taking chemotherapy every day. You finally got there. You can't enjoy it. Neutralized. Neutralized. Now, what's, you know, here's the thing. If I am neutralized so that I either don't take advantage of the prosperity or I can't enjoy it, then my brightness is diminished. I have to be able to enjoy and flourish, because the prosperity that I have is kingdom prosperity. And when I enjoy the kind of life that God wants me to have, it shines a bright light. It shines a beacon that says the kingdom of God is real. Now, in many of the things that I talk about, I'm preaching to myself too. I've enjoyed some things, but man, it ain't even close to where it's supposed to be. And as I was studying for this, I recognized that it's because I violated some of the principles. So some things that's supposed to be mine, I've just seen them. Do you understand that one of the worst things that can happen to you is just to see it? Because what happens is that's part of the deception. You know, in James chapter number 1, the Bible says that there are men that have seen themselves in the Bible like looking in a mirror, but they walk away and they forget what kind of man they was. So they saw it, but they never had it. So if you see it, sometimes you are deceived to believe you got it. I can see what kind of man enjoys the prosperity, but if I don't have any, I've been deceived. And I walk away thinking it's coming any day when I haven't done the right things. And so I know for myself, having seen these things, I have been deceived into just waiting for it as though it's coming. It ain't coming. Because I didn't loose it. It comes down from heaven. And I believe that because we await the manifestation of what comes from heaven, sometimes we believe that we just wait long enough, it'll come. No, if you haven't opened up heaven. We've just seen it. It's there. Amen. Amen. So the thief comes to try to take prosperity away from you. Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life. And what does it say? That you might have life and that more. Just stop there. That more. At the least, man, I got to have more than I have right now. That's the bottom line. More than I have right now. More. Amen. He said, I've come that you might have life and that more. And then bless God, the use of the word abundantly, man. Abundantly, that means too much. That's too much. That's too much. That's too much. And so then I understand this. The kind of prosperity that the Bible promises to me. And listen, this is not the prosperity gospel. Okay, so, you know, people people get down on the prosperity gospel, that one where you enrich my house and I get a new house and I get a new car and I me. This is not that. Amen. This is not that. Lord, this is the blessing of Abraham. And so if I have it abundantly, that means I have more than I can use. There's extra. There's extra. Now, I'm going to balance this in a minute, so give me some time. But I need to say this. It's important that there be extra. Because if there is not extra, I'm not prospering, I'm surviving. And that's one of the tricks. I can tell you this. This is one that I've been caught up in. So as long as I can pay this off, I can use the credit card because I'm gonna pay it off. But I'm still just surviving. I'm not thriving. God wants us to thrive. He wants us to thrive. Why? Because there's so many people that God wants us to give to. There's so many organizations that God wants us to give to. The scripture talks about in 2 Corinthians, it talks about 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, it talks about being a cheerful giver. See, part of the unlocking of heaven's treasure has to do with giving. Okay, y'all, kind of quiet right here, but let me just say this, and I'm gonna move on because I'm actually ahead of myself right now, but I need to point this out. Giving unlocks heaven. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows. Now watch this. I was the giver. God was the opener. So then my giving commits him. He said, prove me. In other words, you ain't gonna ever find yourself obeying this command where you don't see me respond. It won't happen. I'm not more faithful than he is. So it commits him. But me being the giver. So the purpose of the prosperity is so I can be a giver. Because part of the deception for poor people is they don't give. People who don't have enough don't give. And if you don't give, guess what? You don't receive. You don't receive. And for most people in poverty and lack, they think, well, God understands. That's why I don't give. Or that's why I give sparingly. Because I don't have a lot. Now, here's the thing. Yeah, I'm going to just go here. Turn to Genesis chapter 8. Because I need us, and I'm going to take time with this because I need us to get this, to understand. I want 2018 to be the most prosperous year for all of us ever. And I want to see us become cheerful, quick to do it, abundant givers, man. Things got to change. We cannot continue to have the mindset of being stingy. Genesis 8, verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, the burnt offering is the offering of dedication, of devotion. Verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet that smelled good to him, a sweet savor or a sweet aroma. And the Lord said in his heart, whoo, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Now watch this. Remember I said earlier, my giving prompted God's opening. Noah's giving prompted God to say, I ain't going to do this. I'm not going to curse the ground again. I'm not going to curse the ground. Well, how do you access the ground not being cursed for your sake? Through your giving. Because, see, God was in a predicament, man. In Genesis chapter 3, when man sinned, the dominion of earth was turned over to the devil. Now, prior to man's sin, God said, you may eat of every tree of the garden. Right? All right. So then what supplied for man was the abundance and the resources of all the earth. But once he sinned, he became somebody that had to struggle. Because the Bible says, of the sweat of your face will you eat bread all the days of your life. Why? Because the ground is cursed. But here, the curse was taken off the ground through his giving. I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Verse 22 is what I want to get to. While the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So without seed and time, there is no harvest. Now, I guarantee you that there was not one day in the fall that I went in my backyard looking for tomatoes. Why not? I didn't plant none. I didn't go out there looking for collards. How come? I didn't plant any. How can I look for financial prosperity when I haven't planted? Come on. It's a kingdom. God's kingdom operates by seed, time, and harvest. If I don't plant any seed, there is no harvest, and I shouldn't even look for any. I shouldn't even look for any. And so legally, dominion was turned over to Satan. All right, now, on the earth, was turned over to Satan. All right, now let's look at the solution. Luke chapter 11. Because I live here in the earth. But God said, even though you live in the earth, because of the curse on the earth, I don't want you to live based on earth resources. Now, ultimately, I need resources from earth. These clothes I have on, they came from earth. The money in my pocket is earth, came from earth. Right? Ultimately, those resources came from there, but they aren't the source. That's not how it got to me. There is a heavenly transfer that takes place that gets it to me. Come on, man. Jesus wanted to feed 5,000 people. He took earthly resources and caused them to multiply through a heavenly transaction. He needed to pay his taxes. An earthly fish came and had some earthly money in his mouth. But it was a heavenly transaction that got him there. So if I do a heavenly transaction and God does a transfer. Come on, just an earthly transfer, man. If I transfer, I've done this many times for my daughter. She's still in school. Come on, yeah, got another one, yeah, there, another one. So yeah, y'all know what that's like. Come on, I transfer my, oh, he know what from the other side. There's somebody that's in school back there. He know from the other, yeah, amen. But I transfer money. Her account was empty. I ain't send her a check. I transferred it into her account. And it's instantaneous. Because I leave the bank, I go sit in the car, and I call her and say, okay, it's payday. The clock is ticking, though. Tick, tick, tick. It's about to run out. But anyway, and instantaneously, it's available to her. It's available to her. All right, so when we begin to trust in the system, man, Jesus was able to make instantaneous withdrawals. Amen. That's got to be available to me. That's got to be real to me. Come on, man. We saw Sunday that Jesus said, when you love me, I'm going to show myself to you and make myself real. So every aspect of Jesus, including the reality of the kingdom of heaven and its ability to support me with heavenly resources, got to be real to me. Got to be real to me. It's got to be real. All right, where I tell you to turn? Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Verse number 20. I don't know if I'm going to get any further than this tonight. Jesus said here, but if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, Jesus had just cast the devil out of somebody. So he, verse 20, he said, but if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. So you've seen the operation of the kingdom. There is a kingdom reality in your midst. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. He's armed, he's protecting his stuff, so his stuff is at peace. Because if somebody try to come in, he's armed, he's ready to take care of business to protect his stuff. Verse 22, but when a stronger than he shall come up upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided the spoils. Take his stuff and divide it up and give everybody in his family some. Watch this. So if he says this is the operation of the kingdom of God, then Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is stronger than the kingdom of the devil because he cast the devil out of that guy. So the kingdom of God was the stronger one that came, slapped him, took his stuff, ate his lunch, and popped the bag like Andrew Womack says. Stronger than him, took his stuff. And divided the spoils. So if Satan has dominion in the earth, and I need the resources in earth to live, I need to operate by a stronger kingdom. And when I do, whatever I need from this earthly realm, I can take it. I can take it. How am I going to get it? The devil's not going to give it to me. He comes to steal and take what's mine. So I got to take it. So that's why I call this keys to financial empowerment. Because you must be empowered in order to take it. You got to be stronger. So you have to be empowered. You have to be empowered. So a stronger than him, when he comes, all right, this is point number one in this man. You have to be stronger than the one who has dominion over that which you need. Takes a greater power to access it. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18. And listen, people. Listen, this is so important. Now, here, the part of the deception of the devil is because many of you have heard financial prosperity messages, and some, even though they hear these words, their heart says, that might not be true. Or their heart says, that didn't work for me. I need you to understand how important this is. There are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that either talk about money or prosperity or poverty in some way has some connection to finances. There's 800 verses that specifically mention money. 800. This is important to God. If he took 800 verses, he's trying to teach us something. And what we will find over the coming weeks is that what he's trying to teach us is that you need to be on his system so that you can always enjoy an abundance of the resources of earth so that you have enough to bless somebody. The prophet Isaiah said that the Lord told him, the Gentiles will be drawn to your light. Unbelievers, they'll be drawn to your light. In other words, you giving so much away, I need to go over there, see what's going on. I believe it's the purpose the Lord put on my heart to do God's great blessing, to give stuff away. And we're only scratching the surface right now with what I believe the Lord told me to do. I want to come to the point where we're giving away appliances. You don't have a washer and dryer? You need to go to Word of Faith over there. They're giving them away. They're giving away. Oh, what? Broke down? You got to get it fixed? No. Excellent work, and you can take it home, plug it in, and go. Come on, the Gentiles are drawn to that kind of light. Some people cannot comprehend or fathom that we're giving away school supplies. How much is it? Hey, don't cost nothing. They're drawn to that kind of light. This is so important for us. But listen, how are we going to give away appliances when we don't have none? Let me take that to the next step, and you'll be able to see the message. If I only got one washer, how many can I give away? I need my washer. I got to have more than one. So I can say, you know what? I got an extra washer. I believe I'm going to bless somebody with this washer. See, we got to begin to comprehend the mindset of God. When God called Abraham, he told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you. And then in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. In other words, I'm blessing you so that I can get some stuff through you. Amen. To all nations of the earth. This is not hoard up some stuff and just me have everything that I want. This is not that. Amen. This is not that. This is understanding the true reason that God wants us to prosper. That's a real reason. He's trying to get some stuff to you to bless some other people that they'll be drawn. Because what for y'all giving stuff away? It's the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. We just enjoy giving. Did y'all get enough? You want more? Yeah, come on, man. And I notice some people come in and they think, oh, I can only take, you know. Take as much, how much you need. Take what you need. All right. Did I read Deuteronomy 8? Deuteronomy 8:18. I'm gonna close right here. Let me close up my notes. Deuteronomy 8:18. Look at what God said. We'll pick up right here next week. God said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, the Lord thy God, the Lord thy God. Who's your God? The Lord. Money ain't your God. Amen. Stuff ain't your God. Amen. Collecting things is not your God. Amen. The Lord's my God. Remember him, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. What for he give you power? You got to have power to displace the dominion of the devil over the resources of the earth. It was never intended to be his. It is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. To get what? To get what? Man, you need to say it like this. He said to get wealth. He don't want you just to enjoy enough to get wealth. How many wealthy people live in apartments? Nothing against an apartment. Nothing against an apartment. And when they do, where they live at? Yeah, all the way. They don't have just one or two bedrooms. They got the whole floor on the top. That's how wealth does it. God said he gives you power to get wealth. So he empowers you to get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant. That you may have 12 cars. Nothing wrong with multiple cars. But the purpose of the wealth is that he may establish his covenant. So in other words, he's trying to establish something of his. That he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. Amen. Stand to your feet.